Okay.
I have to sneeze. Still, look at the light. I've been trying.
Look at the light and don't stop looking.
But don't go to it.
Yeah, don't go into it, though. Julia, no!
I'm not going to go into it because then I might make another hole.
Don't include that in the box.
No.
Okay, so now is a good time as any. Welcome to the podcast. Woo-hoo! I'm Frankie, just Frankie.
And I'm Valerie, but you can call me Val.
I'm Julia, Captain Peanut.
I'm the resident film bro, Francisco.
And our professor is not here today.
Dun, dun, dun.
We are unsupervised. He's missing.
We're unsupervised.
Podcast unsupervised.
And we have proof that we should not be left unsupervised.
That we will not be discussing on the podcast.
Until the legal case. Until the legal case is cleared.
Okay.
So coming of age podcast. I want to start this off by asking, what's everyone's favorite coming of age film? So we did a poll. Mm-hmm. We have the results. Mean Girls is in the lead, so I guess there's like a lot of Mean Girls out there. What are your guys' favorite coming of age films?
Ooh, me first. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of good ones out there, but I think I'm gonna go with Moonlight because Moonlight's just really great. It's really beautiful in terms of its acting. I think the actual like material, like it the way it discusses. I think toxic masculinity and like being a black man in America and being a gay black man in America. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Moonlight.
Julia,
I made a list right here. And Mean Girls is on it.
She has an actual
like a little list
on
little
a piece of paper. Like
that's why I'm the captain. I'm always prepared. I like 16 Candles, Breakfast Club.
Yes, Breakfast Club. Yeah, it's a classic.
Classics, but I really love Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Nice. I don't think I've seen that one.
No.
It's like one you hear about a lot. Like
I read the novel. So it was based on the novel. So I read the novel.
Is that the one where they
change pants? They all just magically happen to fit into the same pair of pants.
Even though are they different?
Yeah, they're all different sizes and body types. So it's like makes no sense. It's like a magic pair of pants.
But is that the one that they sign the inside of the pants to like where they've been?
They don't sign it inside, but they I think in the second film they have decorated the pants, but like those they'll send it off in like packages to all different parts. So like they'll send it to Mexico, to Greece.
Those to New must York. Be some stinky pants. Like
and
some,
then the thing is that wait, they can't wash them because the magic
can't
will
wash
be...
the pants.
So it's like in some scenes they'll receive the pants and it's full of dirt from like the desert and something.
That ooh. Wow, that is a cool. That is...
So like cinematically it makes no sense, but it's still beautiful.
Dedication.
That's a crunchy pair of denim.
Stinky
that's
pants.
Crunchy.
And it gross. Passes on to the sequel as well. So gross. You can just imagine how gross they are.
I don't know. I think this is a coming of age film. I mean, just thematically, it's one of the many themes in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Treasure Planet.
Treasure Planet.
I feel like it's a very... Is yes. it a coming of age film?
Is it? I don't know.
I'm
it's
gonna
a
find out
it's
right
like
now.
A pirate movie, right?
It's
kind of no a pirates. Future pirate movie.
But if not, then probably The Spectacular Now, which I feel hit a little too close to home. The Spectacular Now with the guy that played Mr. Fantastic in the new Fantastic Four movie,
Miles Teller.
Miles Teller, yeah.
Oh. Treasure Planet is the Disney movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
It's labeled as a sci-fi action film.
Yeah, but I don't know. I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah. So Spectacular Now, probably.
Well, also Honey Boy. I feel like I mentioned Honey Boy like once per podcast. But Honey Boy was such a good coming of age.
Are you
movie.
Being secretly promoted by Honey Boy? We don't know. Because if you are,
are you
think
being secretly paid?
We
by Amazon?
I'm legally not allowed to answer that question. Because
if you're being paid, I feel like I deserve a cut because I edit this.
So. No,
I deserve
I'm
a
not
cut
being...
from MGM because I've been promoting Motherless Brooklyn. Like,
yeah.
Fire.
Can
we
I have
deserve
a,
to be paid.
I just want an early screening of Funny Boy. That's it.
Well, you should have gone to the Gems Film Festival. You missed your should've chance. It's
Gems.
Really good, though. Highly recommend. But that's a great coming of age
throwing
movie.
Shade to those who didn't go to Gems.
Yeah. No, it was really good, though.
If I had to choose a coming of age film for myself, it'd be Reality Bites.
Ooh,
Reality Bites.
It's,
it sounds familiar.
It has like Ethan Hawke and Winona Ryder.
Ooh, oh, that's a good combo.
I love yeah. some Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, some Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I just like how it explores life after college. This sort of like
My God, something we all need.
Yeah, yeah. I need to watch this just movie. Sit home
directly for that. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I gotta watch that. I definitely need some advice as to what to do next.
Me too, because I'm the only one of us who's already graduated.
I'm graduating.
Yeah, but
I'm the only one who has still a semester to figure it out.
You're so lucky. Okay.
What do you mean lucky?
I didn't want to graduate.
I gotta make sure I bust my GPA high.
We all have to come. We all have our own coming of age story to tell.
Yes.
Okay, so going into the next topic, I want to ask, like, what makes coming of age important? Like,
I think
film role.
Film role, hot take. I think just as an aspect of storytelling, it is super important to give narrative to a transition between childhood to adulthood. Because I feel like just culturally, like, that is so important, like, in any culture. I feel like even the ancient Greeks had these, like, coming of age, like, myths of, like, heroes and stuff. Because, you know, it's such a harsh transition. I don't think anybody ever gets over, you know, puberty. Like,
right.
You may physically and biologically be done with it, but emotionally that shit sticks with you.
And to think it's just a small portion of your life.
Yeah, I feel like that is so traumatic. Like, puberty is so traumatic, we never really get over it.
And I think we're always coming of age in a way. Like, I think we're always growing up and we're always moving into, like, next portions of our lives. But I think also the important thing about coming of age movies, especially in, like, recent years, has been coming of age movies that are led by people of color or, like, LGBT people. Because I feel like... people want to hear stories about themselves, especially if you're, like, less represented by society and you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely comforting to see how other people that look like you and behave like you and are like you come of age and be able to relate to that struggle.
Yeah.
I agree.
But, like, aside from that, what you say, what you mentioned, you know, like... coming of age stories led by POCs and people of the LGBTQ community, like, that is so important because that is such a different experience,
right,
than to what I guess, like, the standard Hollywood narrative is of, like, a white guy or girl. So I feel like that is, I'm happy to see that. I'm happy that that's the future, because I, you know, my growing up was different because, you know, I got my mom's sandal hit to the head, that's cool. It's interesting. I'm happy. I'm excited.
Yeah, and I'm excited for future generations who are kind of growing up with this new approach to coming of age movies, because I think growing up I struggled a lot with, like, the way I looked and, like, my, even because, you know, my last name's Lopez, and I was all, like, because all you would see on TV was, like, white characters who don't look like you. And you're like, and internally, didn't even realize it, I would be like, well, why am I not blonde? And why isn't my skin, like, more pale? And why is my last name Lopez? Why do I have, a bigger nose or whatever? Like, and I think it's because you, even whether you know it or not, like, watching these movies that are just about white people, like, conditions you to kind of want to be like white people. So I feel like with these movies that are led by people of color, that are about people of color, and that are about LGBT people, like, you're allowing... future generations to watch this and not feel so much, you know, like, self-loathing that you're not even aware of. So I think in that sense, that's why it's really important.
Puberty's hard enough.
Yeah, right. And especially, especially if you're a person of color or you're LGBT, like, that's even harder because you're kind of ostracized by society all the time.
Damn, that's a completely different episode, I feel like.
Well, yeah, we could, yeah,
for POCs sure. POCs in film. Catch maybe a future episode of the Film Studies podcast.
Okay, so next up, second question. Do coming-of-age films have, like, a social responsibility in society? Like, if someone makes a coming-of-age film, is there a moral... upstanding, like, a moral bar that they have to set, or do they owe themselves to be as...
That's a good question.
You know, realistic.
What do you think? Well, I'll let somebody else start, but I have my own thoughts on this.
I don't know. I feel like with coming of age, you're really... I think you should be open to discussing, like, various things. Like, well, this doesn't really have to do with social responsibility, but I feel like you don't have to be limited by making a realistic coming of age story. Like, you can, a coming of age story can be like something that's fantasy or sci-fi.
Harry Potter, yeah, they're all labeled as coming of age.
Exactly, stuff like that. But I think the only sense that I feel like these movies should have a social responsibility is like in the same thing that I was just saying. Like, I do want to see more coming of age movies that aren't just about you know, white characters, that are about people of color, because I think our society has kind of gotten confused with like feminism, where I feel like people think that just because there's movies about white women that encompasses like all women and that's enough. But I don't think that's the end of the line. Like, I'm glad that there are more women in movies and in coming of age, but you know, I feel like also get women of color in there too. So I in that sense, I feel like there is some social responsibility. I'm not saying every single movie has to be about people of color, but I think it would be nice if you're working on a coming of age movie to consider
having representation of different minorities.
Exactly.
Different people of different colors, class, and upbringings.
Exactly. You took the words out of my mouth.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I do think that to a certain extent, coming of age films do have a social responsibility. Or a culture. Did you say social?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do have a social responsibility. I think just by their very nature, their purpose is to teach or like place these morals of, not even morals, but like these values of like, you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up is hard. Don't worry about that. Be yourself. I feel like that's essentially what they
their
responsibility to do. I think a good coming of age movie like hits all of those, you know, like it's kind of like this global communal experience that I feel like we don't really talk about enough, about how hard it is to grow up and like transition out of like, you know, like the safe world that is childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like to most people, I know people have hard childhoods, but I mean generally the safe world of like, you know, you don't have to pay taxes,
right?
Mm-hmm. Like, probably the most important thing that's happening in your life is, you know, that biology text next week, right?
Yeah.
Or something like that. So, I think, coming of age films do have a responsibility, and that responsibility is to ease or, you know, help those kids understand that, like, you know, growing up is not that bad, and it is kind of like a weird transition.
Yeah.
I agree.
Julia?
I'm still gathering my thoughts, but I think I can piggyback off what Francisco was saying, that, you know, they do have a social responsibility, and the whole idea of a coming-of-age film is to present these characters who are in such a short time span of their life, but it's such emotionally and psychologically important for mm-hmm. the rest of their lives. I mean, if you think about it,
mm-hmm.
the average human lives about, what, 60 to 80 years, if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, puberty is, like, what, not even 10 years of that. So when you think about it, like, these are moments in years that you're being formed into the person you want to be, into the adult you want to be, and you're going through so much emotionally, and then you add on, like, different pressures that society puts on you,
mm-hmm.
whatever it may be. And they have the responsibility of being able to show you that, you know, being yourself and, you know, understanding that you're not alone, that there's, you know, having, and I hate this, but having the ability to see a film of something that you're going through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that you're not alone, knowing that, you know, this is just a phase in life. It's not the most important thing, but it is important to know that, you know, it's not cool just always watching like coming of age films that are just about white people, like, or mm-hmm. American people, and not having that representation, because like what Valerie's saying is, like, if you just see like blonde blue eyes on screen, you wonder, why do I have brown eyes? Why do I have brown hair? You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't make sense. So it does impact you. But I think essentially the coming of age film is important because, from my understanding of coming of age films, they came from a point in time where there wasn't really any representation of that age group. And that's where John Hughes came, and he kind of dominated the classic so-and-so coming of age film. And they've since then progressed with society.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just as it's been progressing, it will continue. I mean, like, some coming of age films that I love is the Netflix original Dumpling, which talks about body image mm-hmm. and body acceptance, and, you know, understanding of, you know, you are the way God made you, and, you know, be happy with what you have, and you don't need to change yourself just to please others.
Yeah.
So it's mm-hmm. just, I think they should just be positive, you know, having more people of color and just giving off a positive message. That's what I think, essentially. So they do. They are responsible for a lot of things.
Yeah. they help you grow up.
Yeah. They do. And these films are ones that you'll hold on to forever.
Yeah.
Right. Because, I mean, also, like I said earlier, I think we're always we're always changing. There's always the next transition in our lives. And I think that these movies are ones that you can always kind of look back to. And often they're, like, comfort movies and things like that. Yeah. That really do help with the scary transitions of life.
Yeah. Okay, so now I want to talk about different interpretations of coming-of-age films. So the three that I picked out were Boyhood and mid-90s and then Moonlight. Mm-hmm. So Boyhood is just some general info. Focuses on a child as he grows up from 6 to 18. Mm-hmm. Filmed over 12 years, and it won, like, a lot of awards. Best Picture, Director, Supporting Actor, Actress, Original Screenplay, and Film Editing. So,
yeah, it was big, right? Like, it's
a big film to see.
Yeah.
It was, like, it's, like, the literal presentation of a coming-of-age film.
Well, yeah.
Filmed over 12 years.
Yeah, because that's literal. Like,
literally, it's just following your life.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And then I'm going to skip mid-90s for now. Moonlight, which sort of does the same thing as Boyhood.
Yeah.
Snapshots of a character's life over time. So we get him as, like, a kid, and then we get him as a teenager, and then we get him as an adult. He's, like, I want to say 20-something, 24, yeah. 25.
Yeah, must be, yeah.
Very interesting films. I mean, just from those descriptions, what are your thoughts on that, like,
concept of following the period of time?
Yeah. Ooh, rather than just, like, a moment? Like, are you talking about, like, the structure of, like, following a character through, like...
Through their life all
through,
those years?
Yeah, through, like, that growing up period, or, like, rather, like, a movie, like, let's say, Spectacular Now, where it's a couple months, like, and, like, at the specific moment.
Or, like, change. The Breakfast Club, that is just one day.
Yeah.
Ooh. The Breakfast Club is just... One.
It's essentially, it's just one afternoon.
It's one detention. Yeah,
it's just that's it.
So
I like the idea. I like that structure where you follow someone, a character, all these years, because it really is. That's the coming of age story. It's just, I like it.
Mm.
You don't like it?
No. I like it, but, like, yeah. Okay. I guess, like, the traditional Hollywood structure is, like, this one moment defines, like, the rest of your life,
right?
Mm-hmm. And then, no, but I do like the idea of following a character and seeing, like, where they get their trauma from, right? Because I would love, can somebody make
relatable
a movie? Can somebody make a movie about that, about my life? Like, I would love to see like,
just how traumatized
yeah,
I am.
I want to go back to being, like, 8 years old and be like, oh, okay, that one bully made me have that insecurity in my life, right? No, I think it's a very interesting, I like that concept of, you know, following somebody as they grow up, because just strictly narratively speaking, you feel more attached to the character because you've grown up with them, right?
Yeah. Mm.
And I feel like, aside from that, from the perspective of looking at things just from coming of age stories, I think that's super important, because it is not just the one moment. Like, you see them growing up.
It's like a closer perspective.
I feel like it shows a bigger picture of, like, it's not just one moment that you have to worry about, right? Like, growing up is not just, like, that 30 minutes between 17 and 18 where you're like, oh man, I have this big problem, oh, now I feel better, now I'm an adult. No, like, it's a gradient, you know? It's not like, it's not a weekend.
Right.
It's not like, for example, taking Breakfast Club again.
It's not one detention.
It's not one detention that defines the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. It's like the
years, the formative years between 8 till 18.
Yeah. So I feel like that's a really cool, like, take on coming of age. I feel like that's much better. I feel like those would be a lot more, like, should be a lot more important.
Feels more authentic.
Yeah, it feels more authentic.
I don't know, because I do, like, for example, I mean, I said Moonlight was my favorite, but I don't think that there's anything wrong with ones that just take place in an afternoon, because I think that the reality is that sometimes you do have an experience that can be life-changing. I know that that's not, like, the case for everything, and it's not necessarily realistic, But I think often there are moments that do completely change the course of your life, or maybe just change the course of that afternoon for you. And mm-hmm. it feels like it's about to change the rest mm-hmm. of your life. But I do think that what's cool about Boyhood and Moonlight is that it's just interesting, like, in the case of Boyhood is that it was literally, like, filmed over the course of 12 years, which is such a cool approach to filmmaking. And it's interesting, I'm sure, to see how I feel like maybe as a character, but even as, I wonder how that actor grew with the movie and with himself, like,
playing the character.
Right. Could he relate to those changes that occurred and things like that? And I love Moonlight because it offers these little vignettes of this guy's life. And it's just, it's definitely a very cool approach to the coming of age genre.
Question, has it ever been done before? Process of filmmaking of over a long time?
I'm sure it has.
But I think to this extent, no.
Yeah, I don't think to this extent. I think when it happened, I think it's been done before, but, like, not 12 years.
Not long. As well done.
Right, as this. Or, like, intentionally either. Because, for example, Eraserhead was filmed over 5 years, but that's just because there was issues finding cinematographers and things that mm-hmm. went awry as the filming was going on.
Oh, this was done intentionally.
But, yeah, this was that's what I mean. Like, but this was actually an intentional. And 12 years is a long time. Yeah,
which I sort of have a fact. It's over 4,000 days of filming. Well, no, I'm sorry. That's over 4,000 days of time that they filmed, but they really only filmed 45 days.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
Wow. That kid must have been like, because I'm trying to think from like the perspective of the kid. He must have been like, oh, shit, this weekend I have to go film, guys. So sorry, I can't go skateboard or whatever. I know. I've seen like some stills from the movie. I know he gets cool. He gets, like, edgy, like, as he grows older, which I think is pretty cool. Yeah. And I think it's, like, I want to know his, like, the actor's actual... This is a little off topic, but I want to know the actor's actual, like, mentality as to going into the film. Because I want to know if the actual filming of it affected his actual growing up.
That's what I'm saying, because this was actual periods of his own life where he was really growing up and really coming of age, you know? So it would be really interesting to see. I'm sure there must be some interviews.
And what would have happened if, like, anybody in the cast died? You can't recast that.
You'd have to write it into the script somehow.
I guess you would have to write into the script, or you start over.
No, oh my gosh, and then you're filming for another 12 years.
Yeah, that's super crazy, dude. Yeah. That's 45 days of filming your series?
Yeah.
What is that like? That's like 5 days a year. That's like a week a year, something like that.
Pretty much, or yeah.
Not even, because maybe they're not even just a whole week. Maybe they're just like, 2 days this month, wait 6 months, and then
No, I'm saying on average is like...
On average, yeah.
That's really crazy.
Like 5 business days a year you're filming. Like,
my package doesn't even arrive in 5 business days.
Damn. This episode sponsored by Amazon Prime.
No.
Get your childhood the next day. Our evil overlords.
Until Amazon Prime gives me Honey Boy, I don't want to do anything. Okay. No, but it's interesting that you guys mentioned so much about the actor's insight into the character. One cool thing that the director did was each year he incorporated the changes that he saw in each person into the character.
Oh, cool. That's very interesting.
In each person of the production team or the cast?
The cast.
Yeah.
Isn't Ethan Hawke in that movie?
Yeah. Ethan Hawke.
But he's not going to change as a person. He's like a professional actor. So I'm guessing... Like,
right,
let's say,
because I know age-wise,
like, getting haircuts, like, tattoos, stuff like that, right?
Like, I think at the beginning of the film, he's pretty clean-shaven, and then, like, halfway through the film, you see him with the mustache, sort of, like, showing the age through the facial hair.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, but you can, like, really see the age difference throughout the movie because you're aging, like...
I just also want to know about the camera quality. Like, does
it... I think it does, right?
It improves over time. I think that's a really cool element because it's just showing that it's through the child's eyes that you're seeing him growing up. It's not from a separate camera, like another person who's just watching the film. You're experiencing him growing up through his eyes, and then just that change of quality.
I think by the end of the movie, like, if you remember, think back to the start of the movie, like, it looked a little grainy, almost like a dream, almost like memories. Mm-hmm. So I feel like even, everything played really well. This whoever came up with this is super creative. Job. I think everything lined up for this this production.
I'll just briefly go over mid-90s, which sort of does the opposite. It focuses on
moments.
A summer of skateboarding in Los Angeles. A lot of 90s references. What'd you say?
A detention.
in the Breakfast Club. Thankfully, not a detention. it was Jonah Hill's first directorial debut. Filmed on a 1:1.33:1 aspect ratio.
Oh, so it's...
So it looks a certain way on film, and there's a graininess to it as well.
Oh, so cool. Is it That almost reminds me of skateboarding videos.
Yeah. That's the ratio. I feel that's sort of
it's not fish cam the whole way, right?
No. But okay. I think there's a scene where he uses the effect in a cool way. I'm not sure. I admittedly haven't seen the film. I'm just going to say it.
Oh.
I'll let this
recently. I have seen the film recently.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And then it has 81% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got to get to watching it, huh?
Yeah.
I recommend it right away. The next segment I have is, does it coming of age? So these are, some of these you mentioned already. Mm-hmm. Fictional movies with coming of age elements. Mm-hmm. Does it coming of age or does it get too lost in the fantasy?
Too lost. It depends on how it's done. Because Harry Potter, I feel like it's done well because it's over a series of films.
Really? I would Harry Potter as a good coming of age movie.
Never mind. Yeah. I take it back. No, you don't have to change your opinion for us.
No, you should.
When I think of coming of age films, The Hunger Games is considered somewhat. But about it, the change in the industry was not because they wanted to sell tickets. Mm-hmm. So the movie industry had to create a coming of age story that will bring in more people. So of course you add fantasy and people are going to come in. So then you saw a change in the industry where most coming of age films were with fantasy or some sci-fi element to it.
I would disagree on that. I don't think that the main focus of those films was coming of age. I think the main focus of those films was putting teenagers in crazy situations.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that but
in a way it kind of does, cuz you see them go through these moments where they have to decide
if they're gonna grow up. Should I, in Hunger Games, should I fire this arrow? Will this person grow up?
No. Well, but what I'm saying is that instead of centering around the classic emblematic teen film that's okay, you're going to school or you're going to college or whatever, mm-hmm. it's now you have characters who are within that same age range, but they're now put into these non-real worlds that are filled with fantasy. And I think the reason behind it was also because the industry needed to sell more tickets. And then there came a point in the early 2000s where there was no box office selling mega hit teen film. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And said they used most of these films Hunger Games, Harry Potter, Twilight. They're all they're all adaptations. Let me finish.
Okay.
They're all they're all adaptations on novels. So they already have a fan base. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you do an adaptation of film, you already know that people are going to come because you already have fans. You have a fan base. Mm-hmm. And I think it came in a time where you saw a shift in the coming of age films. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. It kind of fit in a way, but I'll let you knock me down.
I'm gonna do a hard disagree on that. I don't think that the main focus of those films, Hunger Games,
Harry Potter... I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it came out in a point where coming of age films had a shift, and there was a need for more coming of age films, and these narratives kind of just shimmied their way in.
I would say during that time, coming of age films kind of shifted, because you have movies like Superbad, which is technically a comedy coming of age film. You got I think the mere fact that I can't remember any big coming of age films, maybe I'll have to look back. Maybe something like Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Mm-hmm. But that's after 2010. And that's also an adaptation.
Sex Drive.
Okay, but here's the thing. I think that it can work. I think fantasy can work in coming of age movies.
It's done well.
Yeah, but it has to be done a certain way. So I don't think, I feel like when you watch Harry Potter or The Hunger Games, you're not thinking about wow, look at how these kids are coming of age. They're growing up. But for example, I would say, I think Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse does it well because I think...
You're just a fan.
Yeah, no. That's a good...
But it is, but it is true.
He's genuinely struggling with going to a new school where he feels out of his element because... I'm not super aware, like, in comic book knowledge, but from what I gathered from the movie, he's probably from, like, a poorer neighborhood in New York City.
He's in a public school. And yeah, then he's got into this private school really, that's, like, for really smart people.
Yeah. And I think that it works as a coming-of-age movie because, for example, even me, and I'm an adult, arguably.
Legally.
And I was watching this movie and, like, watching Miles Morales talk to his mom in, like, Spanish. I was like, wow, I can relate to that. And that in itself was, like I can just imagine that kids who are growing up who are, you know, Latino or they're Black get to watch Miles Morales and be like, cool, he's like me and he's getting to this really cool school and he's, you know, he's a superhero and yes, that's not necessarily achievable to anybody, but it's
with proper determination, I will be a superhero.
But like,
go into those labs and get bitten.
But you can see, like, wow, you know, someone who looks like me can be a superhero too, or can be a hero. I think the movie even ends with that Stan Lee quote it says something about being a hero that anybody,
you don't need a cape.
Yeah. Something along those lines. I'm sorry, I can't remember the exact quote.
I think he says the suit eventually fits.
Oh, that's not the quote at the end of the movie. No, there's literally like a written quote on screen and it says something about like,
Well, my little comment on that is Spider-Man is also kind of like an allegory for puberty.
Well, yeah, he goes that too. A lot too. Of
physical changes.
Mm-hmm. But see, that's proof that you can do like sci-fi or fantasy elements and still make it work. But I don't think that Hunger Games and Harry Potter are necessarily
focuses too much
on the. Yeah,
but you also have to admit, to some, it is a coming of age film.
I guess it could
not
be.
To me.
I guess
it I don't could want. Be. I'm gonna make that clear. Not to me.
I guess we need a strong definition of what a coming of age film is. No. Because I'll quote what Shikarshi said to me about something.
What did he say?
If well, he said in another episode of podcast, but he said, if you're going to do like this deep introspective look into somebody's mind, you're not going to do the Joker, right? So if you're going to do a big coming of age film like that really looks into like coming of age, you're not going to make Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Fair point.
So, you know, using that knowledge against you guys, you know, you guys jumped at me. You know, defending superhero
movies.
No, I'm
like somewhere in between.
Someone's
holding
a grudge.
I feel it can. I don't feel like, I can't think of a movie that's like 80% coming of age and 20% fantasy. I feel like taking like Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse, I feel like
it's 50 and 50.
I wouldn't say that's 60-40. Like 60% of the movie is Spider-Man, 40% of like is Miles Morales'
internal
struggle to grow up and like, you know, I just.
No, I agree with you there.
It's hard to do, I would say. Yeah. Very hard to do.
No, I definitely think that coming-of-age movies work best when they are not... when they're more just realistic.
Humans.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you can take, like, a normal realistic concept, like for example, in The Breakfast Club, like, that detention probably wouldn't happen like that to us, but it works in a movie and it's still relatable enough and realistic enough that you can enjoy it. And
bits is all cliches.
Yeah.
Still somewhat related,
right?
I feel like deviating too far away from like a human aspect of it kind of defeats the purpose of it, because if you have like 50-50 or like fantasy coming of age, you kind of like defeat the purpose of like a normal teen being like, oh, I can relate to this person. I can relate to Miles Morales to an extent, right up until the point where he's doing crazy Spider-Man shit, you know? Like,
yeah.
Where then
yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's
shooting
cool
webs.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's not me.
Yeah. Oh man.
Couldn't do it.
Missed that part of puberty, huh?
Frankie over here, like, oh, you guys can't shoot webs?
No. Right, that's how
it's
I
like
got
I got
here.
Bit by a spider the other day. Fun fact. I don't know if it's true, but I read somewhere that in our sleep, in our lifetime, we've probably swallowed, like, at least 3 spiders.
No, that's a false.
It's a false, right?
It's 100% a false fact. The person who made up that fact did it to show how gullible the internet is.
Okay, that's me.
And it's 8 spiders a year that you...
I'm like...
No, you don't need any spiders.
I'm like, I feel like I would notice.
Yeah. No, you would notice.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, if I noticed a cockroach crawling on the tile while I was sleeping and I woke up...
You heard it.
I heard it.
Wait. Julia, maybe you're living in a superhero coming of age. Do you have hearing?
No, but I remember I was... Just a side note, okay? You don't have to include this, but it was so weird. I was sleeping, right? And I just kept hearing like little steps, like... And I opened my eyes and I just saw something on the ground and I just knew it was a cockroach. And then it flew.
Oh, that's terrifying. That's
so
the worst.
I didn't sleep in that room for like
a
week.
So, did you burn your house down?
No, I did not. But I did fill the house with onions because I read that they don't like the smell of onions. Or was that lizards? No, lizards don't like the smell of onions.
Okay.
Where I live, there's just a lot of bugs.
Oh my gosh. The sound of a roach crawling on tile is so...
Yuck. I hate it. I hate it. And I didn't want to kill it because I saw that meme where like they killed a spider and all the babies came out. Mm. I was like, no, I can't. And like, you kill a cockroach.
I think we're going down a really gross rabbit hole. Can we come back?
Like, you can't kill a cockroach.
A cockroach coming of age film.
Oh, no.
Is that a bug?
You get bitten by one.
Is a Bug's Life? This is
possibly.
So cursed.
But then again, I did love A Bug's Life.
You've heard of Boyhood. What about Bughood?
Bughood. Oh, my God.
Going back to it. I'm sorry, Frankie.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of future of coming-of-age films, so I had, like, the interesting idea of non-human perspectives. What if we saw, like, Air Bud, The Long Journey?
Oh.
Like, him as a puppy, and then...
And then, like, he grows up into, like, the full Air Bud.
And you see how he learns to speak? Or, like, how he finds his love for soccer? Or,
yeah.
Basketball?
I like the fact that none of us have actually watched, like, the Air Bud movies. Like, nobody...
I have! I've seen
He learns one. To speak? What? Air Bud learns to speak?
No. Does No, he doesn't.
But, because well, in I the mean... movie, it's implied he already knows.
How to speak?
Or how right, to play a right. sport. Okay, wait.
I'm going on a fucking tangent right now. Give me
okay,
space.
Wait, before we, before, okay, explicit. Before you get into this, I have nothing against Air Bud, but, like, I feel like animal movies are so boring.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All those movies about animals, like, trying to find their way back home, who cares?
Except
They're
for
beautiful.
Brother Bear. Have you not seen a dog's
that's
journey?
That's fine. I'm talking
a dog's
about,
way home?
See, like, yeah, no, thank you.
The only dog going back home
no.
journey is the
Clifford.
Brief, no, it's a brief vignette in Anchorman where the little Jack Russell Terrier comes back home.
Oh my
and he befriends bears and it actually comes and plays into the plot. But anyway, let me go into this
what
random.
About Beethoven?
The
Do you have beef about Beethoven?
I have
Beethoven
beef with
just with Air Bud. Your problem is with Air Bud specifically,
yes,
right?
Because imagine being the kid in the opposite team, right? Where where by some technicality, I think I've talked about this in the podcast,
you
but
have
I don't care.
Wait,
some,
this, it's from the Lost, our Lost podcast
is
episode.
It?
Yes. When we spoke
okay.
about Air Bud. John Ramesh.
The Lost podcast.
The Lost podcast.
Imagine being a kid in the opposite team where this fucking golden retriever, this golden...
Language.
This golden demon, right? By some technicality of the rules...
Golden goddess.
Goddess. Is Air Bud a girl?
It's
a boy,
it's
but
a boy named Buddy.
But then there's Air Buddies, and then there's the little babies.
But okay. They talk. They actually talk.
They talk? No.
That's what I was saying. Like, we could watch the puppies.
No, this is
Air Buddies. Not the original Air Buddies.
So
I didn't see that one.
Imagine explaining to your dad that you lost your Little League game to a dog, right?
I'd be like, wow. That dog is talented.
You're like, I don't want to go back home because my dad's going to beat me.
Well, that's an abusive father.
Yeah.
That's the Air Bud universe. That Air Bud creates abusive homes. That's my final statement.
Oh,
that Air Bud
I think maybe
homes. I think you have a personal problem with Air Bud that you need to work through.
Did I ever lose a game of basketball to a golden retriever?
Have you ever played basketball?
I can't legally say. Yes, I have played basketball. I can't legally say.
Yeah,
in a league.
Remember,
he had
a basketball concussion like on Monday.
I had a basketball-related concussion.
Really?
Yeah.
Possibly. Or was it confirmed?
I'm
Did you go to
sure
hospital?
Was, no.
How would we know?
Because my
Maybe
hand
Maybe you're still in the concussion now.
I wish that I wake up from this nightmare that is Air Bud.
I'm sorry, Frankie. Go back. What do you mean about Air Bud?
No, I mean...
He's just saying, like, non-human perspectives.
Yeah, like, Justin, that was sort of like a joke. I'm not going to lie.
But there actually is a documentary on Netflix somewhere. I don't know if it's by Netflix, but it's on Netflix, and it follows the life of puppies as they grow up and they find their forever homes.
Interesting.
Oh, my God.
Can that be a coming of age?
I don't like that at all. At risk of sounding like someone who doesn't like animals, I do like animals, but like movies and stuff about animals, boring.
What about documentaries?
Boring.
You've never watched like Discovery Channel's 100 Cutest Animals?
Boring.
You've never watched
a whale was like number 97
mispronounced penguin?
Oh
multiple
my God,
times.
Benedict!
But what is that?
Is just
that's
oh, wait,
I wish
no,
that was
I
my
know
response.
What that is.
I that he said penguin, something like that. What did I just
penguin.
Say?
He says Penwing.
He needs to go to like a speech coach or something.
Yeah, thank you. I
hate no him. One corrected him.
No that was one. Hilarious. Briefly of course, getting, why are you going to correct him?
Briefly getting back on topic. Yeah. Can you make a coming of age story from an animal's perspective?
Absolutely. I think you can, but it has to be done well.
Brother Bear.
And not with...
Brother Bear's...
I love Brother Bear. Have you seen Brother Bear 2?
No.
Disney sequels of that age I didn't are, like, it. Like, I like so bad.
They're terrible.
Like, there's Mulan 2, Cinderella 2, gosh. Like Beauty and the Beast 2.
Mulan 2 is actually pretty funny.
I haven't seen it.
I don't even trust Frozen 2 that's coming out.
No.
I didn't even
like the first Frozen 2.
But, yeah, I feel like you can make a coming-of-age story from an animal's perspective. Or like
maybe the Disney. Perspective is the animal it'll watching their Disney. Human grow up. What about that?
That's interesting.
That's the other thing with animal movies. They get too depressing.
Isn't that Marley and Me?
They're always so depressing.
Wait, no.
Did you just pitch Marley and Me?
No.
I feel like that's the plot of
it's not.
But no. Hold up. There is an actual dog movie that came out recently about a dog that keeps dying and coming back.
Yes, why would you do that?
Oh, really?
A Dog's Journey.
I take it back.
Okay, it's amazing. We're talking about, like, animals, but, you know, arguably we could do aliens. I feel like that would be fun. It wouldn't be relatable at all, but, like, an alien, like...
Coming-of-age movie?
Yeah.
Mars Needs Moms.
No. God. Wait, isn't that Megamind?
Like Xenon.
Isn't that Megamind?
No, Megamind's not a coming of age story.
No. But you see him like as a child when he leaves his planet.
But that doesn't necessarily mean coming of age.
Just because you see a character as a child doesn't
mean it's just trying to make a joke and y'all are ruining it for me.
Man of Steel is like the best coming of age film, just for the record.
The first half.
I'm so glad you said that, Frankie. Everyone's always making fun of me for liking DC, but thank you for standing with me.
I'm making fun of you for liking DC. I'm making fun of you for liking Man vs.
No, I liked Batman vs. Superman, and you were outvoted because most people at this table didn't mind it.
Didn't mind it? There's a lot of things I liked don't
it.
Mind
I thought it was that. A great superhero movie, and I'm so sad that everyone hated it so much because it just, like...
I didn't hate it.
Thank you, Julia, but...
I thought it was good. Like, I thought
it's just you. You're the one with the issues.
No, a lot of people have the issues.
I'm the one with standards here.
No.
Wow.
We have standards.
Yo, I like Air Bud.
Chill.
Yeah, yo, chill. Yo,
chill.
I am wearing the patented hat today.
Yeah.
The yo, chill hat. Which
we might merge.
Yeah. If you're interested in merch, comment on our Instagram. Just put merch on our next post.
Randomly.
Yeah. Just put merch.
And on a random photo.
We'll have merch. Yeah, we have like yo chill sweatshirts, shirts, headwear. FIU film, be part of the cast or something. Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to get creative with
roar.
This.
Roar. Be part of the cast. Roar.
Roar.
Okay. All right. So what do you guys think about midlife crisis coming of age films?
No.
That's not coming of age.
Brothers?
But just, okay, so just imagine like this old guy who's sort of like going
50-year-old virgin.
40-year-old virgin.
40-year-old, my bad. Virgin. But that's kind of like, that's kind of, no? Going
no,
for,
that's,
right?
That's like a midlife crisis movie.
What is your definition of midlife?
Because if we want to talk about
we're
like...
we're going to do this, what is your
I'm
definition
I'm pretty sure Frankie
midlife?
Was about to pitch something super funny to us, so let's let him finish.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So...
you have the floor, or the table.
The floor. All right,
so picture this. Middle-aged guy, I was picturing like 40, 50.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Big radio show host. Mm-hmm. Who sort of falls behind as television becomes the major medium, and he ends up retiring to Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Of all places.
And, okay, so he gets offered, like, a Netflix-style talk show to, like, sort of bring back his popularity.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And he has a Reddit AMA that sort of, like, goes wrong and, uh-huh. like, gives him all this infamy. And the collective response to this is, okay, boomer.
Oh, my God.
And the sort of inside joke is his name is Arthur Boomer, and his professional, like, mail-in address for the radio show is OK Boomer as well.
Oh, because he's in Oklahoma. Oh, my God, Frankie, this is so well thought out.
So, like, just imagine, like...
When can we shoot this?
Yo, Frankie, I am genuinely impressed.
Dude, amazing. This is so good.
This is why you kept mentioning Oklahoma. I was wondering.
And this is, like, and it's totally an Oscar bait, for sure. Like it has to be an Oscar bait film, for sure.
It feels like... a, you know, like a studio, like, produced, like, hey, what are the kids into these days, right?
Boomers.
Then let's start
boomers.
With
the, we're
let's
not into boomers.
Let's start with the title and then work backwards. But no, this is genuine, like, I want to see this.
I want to watch this movie.
This is like...
Can we make it? Can we hire Strykarski to be our boomer?
Let's shoot
it's
a short film.
I wrote it with him in mind.
You have a script? Can we do a reading?
I can write the script. I can...
Let's do this.
If there's anyone listening to this, hire me.
Hire all of us, please.
Hire all of
we
us.
Can, we can go to our Instagram page.
And say, let's make OK Boomer.
Honestly, cut this out of the podcast. Nobody can steal this idea.
I like this. Oh, my
this
God.
This is so brilliant.
That's brilliant. I like that. I love that.
We found our short film for the winter break.
Oh, my
but
God.
But I was going to say, that's like some Secret Life of Walter Mitty shit. Right
yes.
There.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Definitely that vibe.
But if I would say, yeah, that's a coming. That's in the midlife crisis coming of age movie, I would say.
Yeah. But I want it to be super, like, is it ultra dramatic? Like, is it a,
no,
I just
I
feel like
think it's
comedy.
A comedy.
Yeah.
A dark comedy has to be a comedy.
Yeah.
It works.
I want him to, ooh, like, I want him to, like, fall on, like, some ice. Can we do that?
Want some ice?
Yeah. I want him to be
should
like,
he eat an avocado?
I want him to meet an appropriately aged romantic interest.
Uh-huh.
Take her ice skating mm-hmm. on like a frozen lake in Oklahoma and then fall through it.
Oh, no.
Can we do that?
Later he breaks his back. Okay, boomer.
Okay, boomer.
Okay, boomer.
And then he has a problem with the doctor because the doctor's a millennial.
Oh my God.
Yo, this shit fucking
guys, this
itself.
Is so, yeah, this is brilliant.
I just Googled midlife coming of age and then an Amazon film came out.
What's it called?
It's called There Are No Grown-Ups.
Oh, no.
No, okay,
it's called
boomer.
Mars Needs
I just
Moms.
Love
it's
how,
a book, never
how
mind.
Well, like, how much you thought
it's
about
book.
This. Like,
yeah, what was the thought process?
Like, but I just love that you thought enough to think, like, Oklahoma. Okay, Boomer. Just brilliant.
His name is
genius.
Arthur Boomer?
Yeah.
This is iconic.
Can we change it to Andrew Boomer?
That would be perfect.
Andrew Boomer. Oh, my God. I like Arthur Boomer, though.
Right,
I like
you
him
know,
too.
Arthur Strykarski Boomer. Arthur S.
Boomer. Arthur S. Boomer.
You know what? Honestly, I think Strykarski would do it.
Yes.
I really think
after we're like, done with this podcast, we have to like pitch it to him.
He'd hate the fact that he's playing a boomer because he's not a boomer. He's a Gen Y.
Yeah.
But,
Gen X.
Gen X. Sorry, Gen X.
Gen Y are millennials.
Oh,
none
okay.
of us are millennials.
Yeah, we're Gen Zers.
Cool. We're Zoomers.
We're Zoomers.
Oh, Frankie, I love that.
This is so good.
I love
this
that.
Is just
write that
so
script.
Good.
Run it by me, too.
Oh, my God.
Stay tuned.
I'll
next
help
podcast.
You write the script.
It's genius. I'll plan everything. Let's
perfect.
Do this.
I can
and
be
then,
an extra.
Yeah. Well, I can be the cinematographer.
I want to be the doctor. I want to be the doctor that,
yes!
Like, he's like,
we're going to have to cut out
Mr. Boomer, you have a broken pelvis. Shattered. you may never have sex again.
Oh my God.
thus ruining his
and he just life. Refuses to believe you because you're a millennial.
Actually, I might cut this part. This is kind of mean.
Okay.
All right.
And then non-chronological narratives. So could there be a coming of age film that like starts with the old person,
oh
yeah, like
God.
Deathbed, and then works backwards.
Nobody.
Isn't that
I've
the Secret
that.
Life, the Benjamin Button, working
no,
backwards?
No,
but he literally but, ages backwards.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Never mind. He's born old.
I didn't understand.
And then
that
he
film.
Dies, baby.
Okay, I actually have a perfect movie, Mr. Nobody. It's like a sci-fi movie where, like, the guy, like in the future, they kind of like invent a way to not die. Like everybody lives forever, so mm-hmm. the last person. To literally not half this is the last person to die.
That sounds terrifying.
They do like a like report on like his life and like you see his life kind of backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But like because he talks about choices, the movie's also about taking different choices. So you see different versions of him coming of age.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Mr. Nobody. So
I like
there you
okay
go.
Boomer
non-chronological.
Better.
Okay, Boomer is the one though.
Stay tuned. Okay,
stay tuned
Boomer.
For Okay, Boomer.
Coming.
Well, that...
Coming this age.
Coming this age. Oh, my God.
But that wraps up everything for the Coming of Age podcast. I'm going to hand it over to the film bro.
Yeah.
5 minutes with the film bro.
So these last 5 minutes. Are you guys ready for the 5 minutes with the film bro?
Yo, chill.
We almost didn't get it.
You guys gotta be on top of
this. I almost said yes. I know, me too. I was like,
wait a minute. Yeah, I'm ready. I wouldn't know what to do if you guys just said no.
I can buy you and you hear a door closing.
I need to win this time because last time I did very bad. I feel.
So, I need to get these correct, so I can't look at you.
So, like in, at the end of every podcast, I have oversimplified some movie plots that I've seen this week. And it is your job.
That you've seen this week.
You don't have to call me out like that. I haven't seen these this week, but I've seen these.
It's because you said it, so I'm just going to your word.
I want to come up with like a kind of like a little script that I can say every time. So I've oversimplified the plots of three movies, and you guys have to tell me what these movies are. Whoever wins gets a crisp high five.
I'm still waiting for that $5 bill.
High five.
This is just high five.
I'm waiting for a crisp $5 bill.
Keep not waiting.
We need sponsors. All
right. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. So, number one. Neglected child turns territorial and tortures some adults. I'll repeat that again.
Whoa.
Neglected child turns territorial and tortures some adults.
Brightburn?
No, not Brightburn. I don't know why. That's pretty close. That's not technically. That's pretty close.
It's a neglected child.
Neglected child. Speak. Yeah. He turns territorial.
Territorial.
Right? And then he tortures some adults. And I am guarantee you guys have all seen this movie.
Is it Megamind?
It is not Megamind. Okay. That is your Val, last
no
one.
No way. I have no idea.
Wait, right. We only get one shot.
I'll give you guys a clue and you guys can get another
one. Yes, give us a clue.
Clue. It is a Christmas movie.
Home Alone?
It is Home Alone.
Oh my gosh, it is Home Alone.
No, he's not neglected. He's forgotten.
That's neglected.
That's neglect.
Yeah. Wait, no, okay.
Like, who forgets their child?
Exactly.
These people.
Like, exactly. They're in neglect. The plane, right? And then they're like, Kevin!
Yeah.
All right, Frankie, get 1 point. All right, next. Teenage prodigy is indoctrinated into a secret government program to create espionage-capable super soldiers. Also Hilary Duff.
Oh.
I'm gonna repeat that. Yeah, Hilary Duff.
Is it a Disney Channel original movie?
Teenage prodigy is indoctrinated into a secret government program to create espionage capable super soldiers. Also Hilary Duff.
Agent Cody Banks.
It is Agent Cody Banks.
Frankie's got this one in the back.
I know, it was like Cody old. Something. That's, Cody something.
Yeah, that's old. Yeah.
That's that. You know, it's not a classic, but it's kind of a coming of age movie.
Yeah.
Well, Frankie's winning this one.
Yeah, he's got this one.
Last one.
Okay.
Ready? You guys can't win this one, so this is kind of just for fun.
Okay.
Well, we can't win it.
Because Frankie already has 2 points.
Oh. No, but
this one should be worth 3 points.
Oh. This one's worth 2 points.
Okay.
All right, the stakes.
The harrowing story of a group of people aboard a frigid rail line heading towards a place many consider imaginary.
The Polar Express.
I was going to say that.
Val?
Snowpiercer.
Polar Express.
It is a Polar Express.
I saw because on Instagram they're doing a Polar Express train in Fort Lauderdale.
Have you seen? I was trying to make it really sound like Snowpiercer.
I haven't even seen Snowpiercer, but I thought.
But when you said a group of people about. Who aboard a train,
I'm so sad.
A frigid rail line.
I'm like, it's Polar Express. I mean, you did Christmas the first one. I'm like, it has to be. So now me and Frankie are tied because we both have 2 points.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Now you both get high fives.
You both.
Oh, there's no tiebreaker?
No.
There's never been a tiebreaker.
There's never been a tiebreaker. I'm not coming up with four.
Do you know how much like brain power it takes?
Honestly, it takes It takes a lot of brain power to for these because I have to choose movies that you guys have maybe generally seen and I have to like really boil them down into like the most obtuse way.
I love the
Polar
Express. Can't say it. Polar Express.
Well, with that, thank you everyone for listening to the podcast.
Thank you.
Congratulations if you guys won that 5 minutes with the film, bro. And everybody say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.